You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
We should constantly be aspiring, you know, to reach higher and higher and higher. We should never be comfortable where we are. You know, we should always be aspiring to know more and to better ourselves and to improve ourselves, you know, to improve ourselves. Because that's how we improve the world around us, by working within us. You improve yourself, light up the corner that you live on. You know, you may not touch a gazillion lives, but you can light up your own space, light up your home.
Ta-da! I'm back. Hi guys. Welcome to another episode of Chris Chats with Chick Girl. First time or second time, I'm glad you're listening and I hope you can take away some great stuff from today's episode. Word. So today I'm going to give y'all the lowdown on this gem of a place that I was fortunate enough to stumble upon recently. Radio Park is an interactive theatrical experience providing a safe space for new art to emerge amidst these uncertain times. They combine two media mediums, Broadway and drive-ins, to create a new form of entertainment. And I'm not gonna lie, I dig it. I'm high-key obsessed with this concept, truly what I've been hoping would come from this universal metamorphosis we're all going through. The track I started today's show with is an original by Miss Ari Grooves, who showcased her own intergalactic production at Radio Park on Halloween night. I'm gonna swing it back one time for the one time, because when it bangs, you know?
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Okay, so like, it's a giant parking lot in somewhere Queens, go Queens, and there's space for cars to park, a few rows of picnic tables, a food truck, a concession stand, and of course, a stage. Then above the stage, yes, above, there's an inflatable screen. Like, I swear I'm not making this up. This inflatable screen can show videos including clips and movies or live stream of what's happening on stage. Guys. Like, come on, this is dope. My passion comes from the fact that I truly stumbled upon it. Like, everyone should know this place exists. How many times have you been trying to think of something to do that is either different from your norm or social, but with space? And with the weather getting cold too? Drive-ins? Duh. So yeah, I feel like I should spread the word. And I think you should too. And not just to the artist community. Just saying. At Ari's show, I met Chris Fink, a New York director and visionary who played a massive part in Radio Park's creation. I got a chance to sit down with him and gab about my new fave theater and what's in store for it.
Hi, Chris. Thanks so much for being with me.
Thank you for having me.
I'm really excited. So let's go ahead and dive in. Can you give me a quick synopsis of how the park got started?
Radio Park came about because basically in the midst of the pandemic and when everyone was sort of in isolation, a couple friends of mine had a music studio in Harlem that we were kind of quarantined in together. We're kind of like everyone else, like, oh my gosh, when is the world going to be normal again? What do we do? How can we, you know, stay sane? Basically, because we had this large open air space, we thought, what if we start a drive-in? And what if we do something that is socially distanced and safe in this space that we were kind of like working on pre-COVID? So we just kind of adapted to the circumstance and found a way to kind of really comb through all of the potential hazards, you know, because our number one thing has, of course, always been like doing this safely and making sure that people feel comfortable to come and be at the space. Mm-hmm. So once we were able to kind of parse those things out and put together a plan that made everyone feel comfortable on our side, we started building the place and got all of our permits together and got all of our team together, and here we are.
Were there specific elements that you knew you wanted to include that were either different from other drive-in movie theaters you'd seen or outdoor theaters you'd seen and stuff like that?
So obviously the live performance element was a key part of it for us. Cool. And the reason that I bring up the music studio is that we sort of found that the only thing that was kind of keeping us sane was each other, being able to create together and being able to like have these moments of shared community. So the drive-in aspect of it and the outdoor aspect of it were really sort of symptoms of the greater cause, which is ultimately like bringing people together and letting people experience music and experience theater and experience community.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing that, you know, I feel like it's been the most jarring through this strange year.
Totally.
That like out of nowhere, we're all just like, oh.
Just like, oh, we can't. Hang out. All right. No, it's cool. Okay, yeah, for sure. How do you feel you guys are actively working towards achieving all of your initial goals that you guys have?
Yeah, I mean, again, to like steer it back, like the mission really is community. So like one of the things that we've really been trying to do is like facilitate a space for artists to come and work together and create. And, you know, that comes along with some challenges because people are still rightfully, you know, trepidatious about coming out into the world. We don't really have a path to tomorrow at this point. And I think that like one of the things that I'm proud that we have done is really cultivated a tight community of people who are comfortable existing in the space, and we're seeing that ripple out slowly as people are coming to like be a part of that.
Cool.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know, that it's definitely challenging because, you know, just getting people to come participate has been our biggest kind of thing. And then once people are there, they're like, oh, it's safe. And like, I don't feel like people are on top of me because frankly, they're not.
Right.
You know, and once people kind of have that experience, that's sort of the immediate moment.
That's what happened to me. I really feel like that's what happened to me, being able to be there for the first time and being like, oh my gosh, like,
it's a little bit like normal.
It's a new normal. I think that it was a taste of an idea of a new normal that feels progressive and has the potential to feel comfortable if it didn't feel initially comfortable and things like that.
And you know, in a normal world, you know, the exciting thing about the space is we do have the capacity to do some really like large, cool events there.
Yeah.
But like in the meantime, you know, a couple hundred people is fine because, you know, where in normal times it may be a couple thousand that can fit in that space. We just actually have the open area to
be able to
be around each other without, you know, being endangered.
Right. And still have, you know, more masks that won't even.
Yeah.
I recently learned that in Jersey you can rent out a movie theater.
Oh, really?
Like whatever room for a movie theater however long movie theater, for like $100. Because I think they're, you know.
They're like, please come
to our facility.
We can certainly sympathize.
right. I'm like, understand. So, who would you think are you guys' biggest competitors and why?
I mean, it's a strange thing to say, but I feel like our biggest competitor is public health.
Wait.
I mean?
Wait.
I don't mean that our competition is public health in a bad way. I mean that, like, literally it's until science sort of, like, helps us arrive at a more safe place.
Right, the potential of what the park can be is kind of being held back a little bit by the circumstances in which it exists.
Absolutely, and, you know, we have like, done what we think is appropriate in terms of, like, encouraging people that we're being safe, but also at the end of the day, like, we're not going to be in the business of creating super spreader events, and we're not going to be in the business mm-hmm. of, like, telling people, oh, come down, everything's fine, because...
I'm not going to pretend.
Right. Like, oh, yeah, it's fine, come down, you're going to be safe. Like, I get that trepidation.
Yeah, totally.
So that's what we're up against.
Yeah. Time.
Yeah.
Time is basically the number one
yep.
kicker at this point.
Yeah.
What do you think is in store for the future of live theater? And do you have any ideas of your own that you want to contribute to, I think, the inevitable evolution that
yeah.
it kind of has to go through?
I mean, I think that this is a sort of multifaceted question to me, because I think that, like, in addition to the public health realities of the future, and how that will sort of interact with live entertainment, I think that this period has also really sort of, like, shown a light on a broken model as far as, like, how theater is approached from a producing standpoint. And I think that we are realizing, especially in New York, that the model that sort of has existed for quite a while now is one that is really based on commerce, and, like, that's okay, and there is a place for that, and
yeah.
there is a value to that, but we also are seeing that, like, the other theatrical experiences aren't able to survive, right? Something like this 6 month, you know, year and a half, whatever it ends up being, shut down, is already shaping Broadway to its core.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we look at the smaller independent venues, and we look at, you know, the nonprofit venues around the city, these places simply are not going to survive,
right?
Because the model was sort of too close to the edge in what we'll call the before times.
Right.
You know what I mean?
BC before COVID, can we do that?
At the end of the day, even something with the spending power of Broadway is looking at reopening and saying, hey, how the heck are we going to spend $2 million
yep.
or, you know, whatever it's going to cost to get our show back up and running without
money?
You know,
can't get them out of the hole at this point.
Well,
yeah.
and also, you know, to the challenges that we're seeing at Radio Park, you know, we spend this money and then people aren't ready to come out and see shows for a month.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're operating at, you know, a multi-million-dollar loss because people just aren't ready.
Yeah.
There's no way to gauge that. There's no way to know. I mean, we can look at pre-sales. We can sort of, like, take some measures, but also we don't know what legislation is going to be, right? So
yep.
is it tenable for a Broadway house to operate at 25 or 50% capacity? And this is a conversation that's been going on for the whole year.
Right.
You know what I mean? And there's no new answers. and it's sort of like, you know, these Broadway meetings that are happening and whatever, there's sort of the same answer coming out of them, which is, well, the model doesn't work. And we have to find a way to equitably sort of incite community, because at the end of the day, the problem with the sort of, like, commercialized side of theater, and again, it has its value, and I'm not knocking it at all,
right.
but what I am saying is that, like, this other thing is important too, and ultimately, the great performers and the great shows that we all have come to know and love are birthed from that place,
right?
Like, Stephen Schwartz didn't write Pippin from, you know, the Music Box Theater. He wrote it at his college with his friends and hanging out, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's how these things happen, right? But
yeah.
we also need to, like, make sure that artists can survive. So when we're looking at, you know, and I don't necessarily blame producers either, because, look, it's expensive to put a show up in New York because
yeah.
real estate costs a lot of money.
Correct.
You know, and I hate to keep going back to that, but, you know.
It's hard to ignore some, you know.
You know, and even, you know, look. Again, I direct plays. I'm not a real estate investor or a real estate sort of analyst. Like, but by my estimation, the reason why we can't pay our artists is because we're paying our landlords.
That
and, like,
2 + 2 did equal 4 in that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that that's the biggest change that just, like, has to happen, or we're gonna be in a place. I mean, even from a business sense, does it make more sense to sort of pilot what's going on, even if you're using the Broadway theaters,
right,
and spend a couple of $1 million to find out that people aren't ready? Or does it make sense to spend a couple $100,000 and make sure that the artists who are desperate, we're dying, we're out here dying, everyone, give us a job, help us create something, help us get back together, help us like do the thing that makes people, pardon my French, give a shit about us in the first place, which
right.
is make them feel something.
Right.
And make us feel something. Like we, this is the missing piece. And like the people who like seemed like they knew that
right.
are out here like, oh, well, when are we ever going to get to get back together?
Exactly.
I mean, who can afford it? You.
You can.
You actually can.
I just think it is so crucial, the investment in things like the park. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And independent works and the survival of your artists, because it is not only a representation of like what we've learned from the past, but how we can try to form this quote unquote better future that we keep talking about.
Yeah, well, I mean, look at something like Ari's show, you know, the thing that we did together.
Yes.
Ari, you know, first of all, is a force, but within that, she pretty much single-handedly made that show in less than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine if she has a team with her. Imagine if she has space to, like, actually bring everyone together and time. You know what I mean? But and look, it was a pretty cool thing we did.
Yeah,
it made all of us feel something. And, you know, the whatever 50, 60 people that came out that night,
right.
we all had a community moment. And the feedback from that is the same as the feedback from most every show that we've done has been, which is, oh my God, I didn't realize how much I missed this and needed this.
Yep.
You know, that's the takeaway every time. I'm back in the middle of this and now I remember.
How nice it is.
You know, how essential it is.
Mm, totally.
You know?
Yeah, so what are even other like locations like, is there even?
No.
Do they exist?
No.
Why not? I don't know. I just feel like...
Look, frankly, the business doesn't make sense that much, right? So if we're talking about the same kind of conversation that we've been having, you're not going to get rich off of the model that we put together,
right?
You know, so as far as like other, why aren't other people doing this? I think that the finance, you know, this is something that I'm very sort of lucky and thankful to have. You know, Jeremy Shepherd, our executive producer, and the Durst's, the owners of the space, like they have decided that it is more important to have this thing exist and to give people community if they want it than it is to have a fat bottom line.
Yeah.
And, you know, that is obviously not something that is sustainable forever, but they have taken a chance on saying, okay, yeah, we're going to invest in the arts. We're going to invest in creating a community. And it just, unfortunately, is not, you know, no investor or no sort of like commercial producer is going to look at what we're doing and say, oh, wow, this is a home run.
Right.
Because frankly, until we can have a higher capacity, which like one day will happen, but like for now, the numbers aren't good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Just
and so I think that's why.
Black and white at that
point.
All right, last question.
Okay.
What would be the best contribution to the park to help stay afloat through the pandemic? And we know Numero Uno, of course.
I mean, Numero Uno, we have a GoFundMe set up. If you got some money laying around and you want to support artists directly in New York City, we are definitely a way to do that. But also, really earnestly, it's community, you know. And we are really, really, really impassioned to have artists come down and do work and be a part of what we're putting together. And, you know, we have to, again, sort of be aware and cautious and sensitive to where we are in a public health sense. But also, like, we got space. We're out here. And if you know, giving money or even buying a ticket to something is not something that you can do, I'm Chris Fink, and I'm on Instagram, and I'm on Facebook. Hit me up. I'd love to see you.
Amen. Like, we have the, with the our phones that track us, the virtual world sometimes can actually benefit us in the real world if we actually use
absolutely
tools
absolutely
instead of
and you know, I've looked, I've been in the position plenty of times where it's like, oh yeah, I mean, you know, I'd like to reach out, but like, do it.
Yeah.
We want to see you. Come hang out.
Yeah.
You know?
The Ensemblist was produced today by Mo Brady, Jackson Klein, and me, Christine Shepherd. There are two great ways you can be helping the Ensemblist right now. One is by leaving us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. The second is by becoming a Patreon member at patreon.com/theEnsemblist. Please follow the Ensemblist wherever you listen to podcasts, whether that be on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, or at our home on Broadway Podcast Network at bpn.fm. Thanks for listening. Until next time.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.